Father, as we approach your word today, as we read it, as I preach it, Father, I pray you'd open our hearts, our minds, that we may see our wonderful Father in heaven. Lord, we might see that we can trust you, wait on you. Lord, we can see that the only salvation for man, the only way to be delivered is through the mercy of God, through Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for the people here today. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, for what you're going to teach us. I thank you for this day. Most of all, Father, I thank you for you. As it was said, Lord, without you, we can do nothing. So thank you, Lord, for the salvation you've given us this morning. I pray that our hearts would just rejoice as we look at your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Truly, my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from the high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, and they curse inwardly. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Surely men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. If they were weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. Do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his work. You may be seated. Now, we don't know when this psalm was written, but it was, as with many of David's psalms that he had penned or had written to music, it was evidently during a time when David was in trouble. He felt trouble or anxiety in his life. That's usually the reason for a lot of the psalms that David wrote. But this psalm can be divided into three parts. The first four verses will emphasize for God's people to trust him. How many trust God this morning? And you think about that. Well, do I really trust him? Okay. To put your whole life in his hands, your whole trust. Lord, I trust you for all things. And when you get to verses 5 through 8, it's broke up into another part where David is calling others to trust in God. To share in what we know our God to be. We can trust our God. So it's almost an invite to come and see what God is like. And we get to the end of this psalm, it's to the futility of trusting in anything else but God. And so this David is breaking this up into three parts. Now this psalm emphasizes one of the most important traits in a believer's life, and that is, it's something we see in David's life, repeatedly through the Psalms, that is to wait on God. How many have a hard time waiting on God? If you're like me, you probably do. And I'm a preacher. Certainly you should be the one waiting on God. I'm an anxious guy. Right? I mean, how many would like to go to heaven today? Now see, we have to wait on him, right? I see some of you go, I'm not raising my hand. Maybe today's the day. It's like, it's funny to see it from this point. You don't see everybody. It's like, oh, if I raise my hand, he might take me. You know, so it's hard to wait on God. We have a flesh that wants to do everything ourselves. We want to be in control of our own destiny. We want to have the power to make our own decisions. We're independent. We're free people, right? I mean, it's ingrained in us from the time we're little. But to recognize that there's a power, a God, a supreme over us that we have to wait on His schedule is sometimes difficult. You know, you pray for somebody or something for years and years and years and years and years and years and years, and you don't see an end or a result to it. That doesn't mean that He has not heard your prayer. That just might mean it's in His timing. So it's hard. It's hard to wait on God when we're surrounded by wickedness and wicked people. Yesterday it came across my mind. Lord, judge the wicked. Get rid of the wicked. You're saying, whoa, that's not very compassionate. What kind of... David did that. And he was a man after God's own heart. In that prayer, I said, Lord, save many. But would you put an end to the wickedness and the wicked real soon? Is that a good prayer? Absolutely it is. So it's hard to wait on God. Lord, why are you, how much longer before you come back? It's hard to wait on Him. But listen to what David says about waiting on God. Let's look at what it says here. It says, truly my soul silently waits for God. And I looked at that verse all week. I'm looking at this. He doesn't just wait for God. He silently waits for God. And so, we need to wait silently for Him, which means, I looked that up, you know what that means? To wait for God without complaining and with all reverence. Now, that puts a different slant to waiting on God. I'm going to wait on God, and never out of my mouth will I complain about my circumstances as I silently wait on God. How many can say that? It's okay if we're waiting on God. If he goes along with our schedule and our plans and things are moving along, sure, I'll wait on God. But when it doesn't go the way I think it should go, do I start complaining? Okay, David says, I'm going to wait on God without complaining and giving Him all reverence in doing it. Meaning, I'm going to honor Him as the supreme God. He has authority over the dictates of my life. If He says this is what's going to happen, then who am I to question that? So David silently waits on God. Go to Habakkuk chapter 2. You know where Habakkuk is? Look for the crispy pages. Right? No, it's in the Minor Prophets. Habakkuk chapter 2. Now, look at this verse. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 20. Great verse. But the Lord is in His holy temple. Now, holy meaning it's set apart, it's sanctified, it's separate from His creation. What can be in the holy temple of God? No sin. Okay? It's above everything. So look at this. He says, but the Lord is in His holy temple. When you see that, what do you think of? He's King. He's Lord of Lords. He's supreme over everything. He is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before Him. Now, look at that. Let all the earth keep silent before Him. What can we say to such an awesome God? You know, the fact that you and I have the privilege to come into His presence is one of the greatest miracles ever done. That we could just waltz into the presence of God and begin to talk with this holy, mighty, powerful Creator. And say, Lord, Father, hear me. Please hear me. Boy, if it wasn't for Christ, I'll tell you what. What privilege would we ever have to do that? None. But we're to keep silent. This idea of reverencing Him. You walk into the presence of God, there should be reverence for God. And so David says, when I wait on you, there should also be reverence. You know what it is? I take my request to you, Lord, and I wait with reverence, knowing that you're the King. And unless you do it anyway, it's never going to happen. So, Lord, and even if my lot in life is difficult, that's okay. This is the heart of David. What does it mean to wait on God? You know, the Hebrew word translated for wait means to entrench. Entrench. Like dig a foxhole and stay there. Means to entrench. God strengthens him and entrenches himself in him. It means the idea of waiting for God here is digging ourselves in to God. I'm going to plant myself there. I'm going to dig down. I'm going to stay there. I'm going to wait on him. I can't be moved. So the Bible speaks often about waiting on God. I'm going to read these verses to you. I want you to listen to these. So I got these written out, these next eight verses, because I want you to hear it instead of looking for it. Okay? This is Psalm 25:5. Now listen. Lead me in thy truth, it says, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Okay, now let me read that again. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. The desire of the psalmist here is, Lord, teach me. Teach me what I need to know. For thou art the God of my salvation. Okay? Who does salvation belong to? God. He's the God of my salvation. He's the authority over my salvation. He's the sovereign over my salvation. He is the I am over my salvation. If he speaks that I am saved or delivered, it will be done. He's the God of my salvation. There's no higher supreme voice over my salvation than God. God says you're saved. You are saved. God says you're delivered. You're delivered. You're free from that sin. You're free. Because nobody can question him. He's the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. What are you waiting for? Now you as a believer are waiting for that to come to reality. In other words, heaven, seeing the end of this, being with him in glory. So you're waiting for that. Psalm 40 verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Now notice in that psalm, the Lord heard the cry of the psalmist, but it was after a time of waiting. Truly, this is out of Psalm, the verse we're just reading. I want to read it again. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. Psalm 123 verse 2. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. Look at that again. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and the eyes of maiden under the hand of her mistress. Now think about being a servant, and you're looking to your master for what? You ask him for something, and you wait for the answer, because it can only come from that master. So you wait in anticipation for the answer to the request, and it says, we do the same. Our eyes are upon the Lord, our God, until he has mercy upon us. It's the idea of waiting and waiting. Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not be faint. Micah 7 says this, therefore I will look unto the Lord, and I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Now, isn't that great? My God will hear me. Does he hear you? Yes, he does. And the Lord, direct your hearts, this is out of 2 Thessalonians, into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. And patiently waiting for Jesus. The world's falling apart by the day. I mean, it's speeding up. And it is getting worse and worse. And I find myself saying, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I think I've said that more in the last few months than I've ever said in my life. And I don't know why I say that. It just comes out. Lord, come quickly. Lord, come quickly. I'm in anticipation for the heavens to scroll back, and here he comes. You looking forward to that? I mean, with anticipation? I mean, that should be consuming our thoughts. Lord Jesus, are you coming today? Are you coming back soon? Come! He says he's coming quickly in Revelation. As believers, we are to wait on him. Eagerly wait for him. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In the world that has taught us it's hard to wait, the Bible teaches the believer to eagerly wait. Eagerly. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's read, let's start at verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Those things apply to you. You are saints, people. You are saints. You don't become a saint because you do some great work. You become a saint because you believe on Jesus Christ. And God calls you saints. And you are sanctified in Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. Oh, what a gift that is, huh? That you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge. This isn't even the message I'm going after, but I need to say something right here. And I hope every believer in this place understands what he just said. Because you were enriched with everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge. You have all knowledge about your God. You're saying, well, wait a minute. I don't feel that smart. You know things the world does not know. You have been blessed. You know your Savior. You know about your Savior. You know the plans he has. You know the mystery unveiled. People, you know more than you think you know. He has given you all knowledge. Now, let's keep going. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short of in no gift. Look at this. Eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end. Another eternal security verse. He will confirm you to the end. That you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you to go back up to verse 7, where it says, eagerly waiting for the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot wait till the world sees him come again. I can't wait till he shows himself. I eagerly wait for that. I want him to come. You say, well, what about all these people that aren't saved? That's his job. He'll save those whom he will save. I want him to come. I want to see him. Are we in that much in love with him that we eagerly wait for his coming? Hebrews 9:28. Go to the book of Hebrews. Chapter 9. Verse 27. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. He is coming again. Now, we have been saved when we believed in Jesus Christ. We are being saved as we live through this life. And we will be saved when he returns. See, that's what's great. He's coming with salvation. You'll never, no more pain, no more hunger, no more hurt, no more anguish, no more anxiety, no more trouble. And we'll forever be with him in glory. Isn't that going to be a great day? As we eagerly wait for him. But look at what David says back in Psalm 62 after he makes that opening statement where he says, truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. It says, from him comes my salvation. He only is my rock. And we talked about the rock back in chapter 61 and 60. But he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. What a true statement when David says, from him comes my salvation. That is a true statement to in every sense of the word. The word salvation here that David's referring to implies deliverance. My God will deliver me from my enemy. Is he going to do that for us? Yes, because from him comes my salvation. And without the gracious, merciful, and drawing of the Lord God, none of us would be saved from death. None of us will be saved from our sin. My salvation comes from him. He only is my rock and my defense. And I shall not be greatly moved. Now, rock there is used to describe a solid, unmovable place. Much like Psalm 18, verses 1 and 2, which I used last week, says. If I went back here to Psalm 18, in verses 1 and 2, and I read this, says, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. And I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved by my enemies. So I get this impression from this psalm of David here in Psalm 18, that when I am in God, in Christ, I am on solid ground and I'm untouchable. I'm safe. I'm in a fortress. I'm protected. I have a place of refuge. My enemy can't get to me when I am in Christ. And so that's the idea there. But David says in Psalm 62, he's my defense. Look at Psalm 14:6. Let's kind of work back towards 62 there. Psalm 14:6 says, you shame the counsel of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. God even says he's a refuge to the poor. A place where they can hide and be safe from the world around them. He is their refuge. Psalm 18, we already looked at Psalm 18, so let's go to Psalm 28. Psalm 28, verses 7 and 8. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise Him. The Lord is their strength, and He is the saving refuge of His anointed. Isn't that an awesome verse? He's the saving refuge of His anointed. Are you His anointed? Are you His people? Yes, you are. He's the saving refuge of His own. Psalm 31, verses 1 through 3. In You, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Your righteousness. Bow down Your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. So on and on through the Scriptures, He's portrayed as a refuge, a place of defense. And the point here is we can hide in God when storms of life come. We are safe with Him when the world around us starts changing and shaking and falling apart. Look at Psalm 42. I can trust my God. Psalm 42. As a deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for You, O God. My soul thirsts for God. For the living God, when shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been a food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is Your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude, and I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise of the multitude that kept the pilgrim's feast. Excuse me. Here is a psalm where he's longing to be with God. He had been out of fellowship with God, and he wants to go back and feel that presence of God, being that refuge and that rock. Go to Psalm 46 and look at the first three verses of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place, the tabernacle of the Most High. He is our refuge. Do we recognize that this morning? As we wait on God, when this world seems to be in chaos and falling apart, in God there is security, there is safety. He's a place where you and I can run to. He's the only place to be saved. That's what the psalmist is describing here. Now go back to Psalm 62. David says, if you look at verses 3 and 4, he makes a proclamation that the people that don't put trust in God are nothing more than a tottering fence, a leaning wall. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. David goes back to saying, if my soul waits silently for God alone. Now, that word alone is added in that next time he says that. David's trust is at all times, even when other people aren't around. Some of our greatest tests of loyalty to God are when we're alone. Do I trust Him just around the masses? Or do I trust Him when it's just me and Him? David says, my soul waits silently for God alone. You know, I get the impression from David that all he needs is God. All we need is God. For my expectation is from him. Some Bibles might say my hope is from him. But my expectation is from him. Who is it you get your strength from? Who is it that provides for you? Who is it that gives you joy? I mean, we could just keep going down this list. Who is it that's going to answer your prayers? Who is it that has saved you? Who is it that's going to carry you all the way to glory? Can you say, my expectations from you? No matter what the world, no matter what happens around me, I expect my Father to keep his promises. My expectation is in him. Now David goes on and he says, again, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my what? Glory. Now he keeps saying these things over and over, but down in verse 5 he says, as the word alone. Up here he says glory. That word glory is joy. In God is my salvation and my joy. Not only did he save me, I'm so excited about my salvation, I can't not talk about it. He is my joy. You know, again, Christians should be the most happy people on the planet. He's my joy. You know, there is nothing I don't... Everything that matters for eternity, I and you as believers have. The rest of this stuff is dung. Is that a good way to say that? Paul said it. I count all things as it's just garbage. But yet we the most important thing is our salvation that he's given us. And so David pleads to the people around him. He says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge to us. It's an invite. Hey, look, if he's done this for us, he'll do it for you. He's a refuge for us. Surely, and I love this, surely men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. If they were weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. I look at that and I look at all what's happening in the world and all the jostling for power and all the decisions made from the people that want to run the world and all this. And God says, you know, if I was to weigh you all on a scale, you're nothing more than a mist to me. It's a vapor. Why are we so worried about what goes on in the world? When if it was all weighed on a scale, it's nothing more than a vapor to God. We ought to be concerned about what does he think? What does he want? Should our faith be there? Should we trust him? He's God. It says, do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. People, if you and I have our heart set on wealth, earthly wealth, that's going to go away. We better rest and learn to trust the God of our salvation. Because pretty soon, really quick here, pretty soon, everything's going to unravel like a ball of yarn. And the only ones that are going to be able to stand are the ones that have salvation in Christ. The rest of the world is going to panic like nothing you've ever seen. And it's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse. Can I say that? You can't possibly think a world that rejects God, promotes sin, kills the unborn, kills the elderly, detest Christ, is going to possibly be blessed. We are going down the drain. Somebody's already pulled the plug. I'm telling you, the only people that are going to be able to stand are those who trust and wait on their God, the ones that are have salvation in Jesus Christ. That's a promise. Look at this, verse 11. I wanted to work my way quickly through this psalm. God has spoken once. How many times does God have to speak before we listen? How many? Well, once is being gracious. He doesn't have to say anything at all. But because He loves you, He speaks once. He doesn't need to repeat Himself. You ever have a parent that says, look, I'm not repeating myself. I told you once, son. You can't listen? God speaks once. Now listen to this. Twice I have heard this. Power belongs to who? To God. Who's in charge? God. So let's not get all frustrated in what's happening out in the world. God is in charge. Everything He's in charge of. He has power. He's the only one that it says here, also to You, O Lord, belongs what? Mercy. He's the only one that can dispense mercy. Only one that can give salvation. Only one that can answer prayer. Only one that can deliver us from our enemies. And if He's promised that He did that for you, what's your and I responsibility? Wait. Wait on Him. Okay? Remember what I said that means? With what? Without grumbling and with reverence. Lord, You're in charge. I recognize You as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Father, thank You for Your word this morning. Powerful psalm, Lord Jesus. Help us to silently wait on You. Help us to trust You. You are King of all. In Jesus' name, amen.